Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and you're listening to the Downtime Podcast, where we take you inside the world of mountain biking. Before we get stuck into this week's episode, just a massive thank you to everyone for all of your messages. It's always great to hear them. If you've got a couple of minutes, head over to iTunes, leave us a review. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you get all the latest episodes delivered to your device. You can head to downtimepodcast.com/subscribe and you should find everything you need to do it there. You can also join our newsletter on the same page where we'll send you all the up-to-date information on what's going on with the podcast. So it's the best way to keep in touch. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Just look for Downtime Podcast on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter. Okay, we've got something a little bit different for you this week. This is March the 8th, it's International Women's Day, so we thought we'd do something on the state of women's mountain biking. It's a fast developing area of the sport, there's a lot of brands getting stuck in, there's big money involved, and it's really moving forwards. But I wanted to dig a little bit deeper and find out what was going on. So I sat down with Hannah Johnson, who's a mountain biker herself and a mountain bike journalist, to chat about the state of women's mountain biking. I got in touch with Hannah after she wrote an article on the use of language in mountain biking back at the end of 2017. It got some really interesting feedback and definitely made me think a little bit about the language that I use when I'm out riding my bike. So that's one of the areas that we cover. We also talk about what it takes to be a good female role model. We talk about women's only racing, the state of women's downhill racing. And we also talk about how we can encourage more women into the sport, plus much, much more. So without further ado, here's Hannah Johnson. Hannah Johnson, welcome to Downtime. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. So let's start off. Just tell us a little bit about how you got into mountain biking, because I know it's something that you started a bit later in life than some people.
Yeah, I started when I was 20. I was doing a ski season in Whistler and met a bunch of guys who were riding bikes, and they convinced me to stay for the summer and to take up riding, which I did. And I fell in love with it from the beginning. Cool. I mean, Whistler isn't the worst place for riding bikes either, so.
For sure. But that's quite a full-on place to start riding. Like, what was your first experience like?
My first experience was a friend taking me out to the garage on a borrowed bike and saying, oh, just roll down these rocks, which I did, and fell on my head. So this was about 2 meters off the garage, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, okay, let's roll downstairs instead. And I was like, no.
I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And so how long before you got kind of up the mountain and started hitting some of the trails?
Oh, probably just a week. I kind of, when I like something, I get stuck into it.
And yeah.
I want to get good at what I'm doing. So I kind of, put my head down and just enjoyed riding and rode lots.
Yeah.
And by the end of the summer, I was doing like the A-line drop and all those classic drops around Whistler. So sweet. I was happy about that.
Yeah. How did you find it getting into it then? Were there any kind of barriers for you or any kind of obstacles that made it hard, or did you find it an easy thing to get into?
Coming from a ski season in Whistler, I was kind of used to the adrenaline and being scared and like pushing myself and my limits. Mm-hmm. But prior to that ski season, I didn't do anything extreme. Like, I've skied since I was little, but only on piste. And like in school, I was doing all kinds of sports, but it was like yoga and running, and like I always liked sports, but never extreme sports. And I was quite careful and mostly enjoyed high heels and pretty dresses, to be honest.
Interesting. So yeah, big change getting into mountain biking then.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. So we got in touch. So you wrote an article towards the back end of 2017 around the use of language within the mountain bike world that was published on Escapee. Which piqued my interest, and we got in touch and went for a ride and had a bit of a chat.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a bit about that article, I guess.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it and how you came to write it.
It's been on my mind for quite some time. Like, I think coming from like not being a native English speaker as well, it is more, you notice it more because there are all these expressions that you just like react to and go like, wait, what did you just say? Is that really what? And I think for an English person who's always heard these things growing up and using them, they might not think about what they actually mean. Mm-hmm. And especially coming, I've recently moved from Sweden back to the UK and also travel abroad a lot. And I find that this language is just everywhere, and everyone uses it without really thinking about it. And every time I actually tell people, like, do you know what you're saying? They go like, oh, shit, I didn't mean that. Oh, that's actually quite horrible. I won't say that again.
So give us some examples then of the sort of language you're talking about.
You always hear like, oh, I was being such a girl. When you do something bad, you crash, you're scared, whatever. Don't be a pussy. Same thing when you're scared, when you don't dare to do something. Mm-hmm. And then when you have to be brave, it's always like, oh, grow some balls. Or man up. And it's all divided into male and female sayings. Mm-hmm. And when they're weak and when you're scared and when you don't dare to do something, it's female.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's involving courage and bravery, it's male.
Yeah.
And to me, that doesn't ring right.
Yeah. Maybe not very encouraging for women coming into the sport or
no.
for young children around the sport seeing
exactly.
that kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so people have responded well when you picked them up on it, or?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't do it in an angry way. I don't want to tell people off for saying something because we all say them.
Yeah.
But it's more about making people aware of what they're actually saying. And like in my article, I kind of compared it to racism. Like racism used to be quite used in our daily language.
Yeah, yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, I don't know how many years ago, but then it became rude and then we stopped saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sexism in language is rude and we should stop saying it. And I think a lot of people agree with me. Well, as far as all the comments I've received, most of them do agree and they really encourage me about talking about it and highlighting it. And
yeah.
And it's not about making people feel bad or like pointing fingers. It's just about like this general, maybe we can do something as a community. We can stop saying these things and it will make it better, I think.
Yeah, so I guess one of the justifications that people give, certainly with the pussy side of things, is that it's related to a pussycat, not to female genitalia.
And maybe back in the day, that's where it's come from. I've tried to Google it, but there's like a ton of million different...
Yeah, I imagine it's not a good thing to Google.
No, there's a lot of things on Google. But it doesn't really matter where it's come from, because it matters what it means.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because most of the guys I speak to are like, oh, but, you know, I don't refer to it that way. Like, oh, and by the way, you know, pussy comes from pussycat and all that stuff. And all the women I speak to say, oh, yeah, I don't really like it. Like, I don't think it's a cool saying.
Yeah.
And they think it refers to the female.
Yeah.
So it's like it doesn't matter in the end where it's come from. It matters where we continue. Like,
yes.
Where the future is, what we say in the future. And if women are offended by it, why do we have to say it?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some alternatives, right?
Yeah.
We just need to kind of change our mindset a little
bit.
But I guess it's. I mean, I've definitely been guilty of it, right? It's hard.
Oh, I have too.
It's built in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially as a non-English person, you come into a language and you try and like pick up the slang, you want to be cool.
Yeah.
And you pick up all these sayings. Like I used to love man up. It was used to be like, when I did that ski season in Whistler, it was always like, oh, man up, Panna, let's do it. And it's not until a few years after that I was like, oh, my God, what did I actually... That actually isn't very encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, you do hear women using those terms.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's because people aren't thinking about it or whether it's to fit into a scene or what, really.
I don't really know either. I just hope by making people maybe aware of what it means and how, like, the divide between the male and the female, like, expressions we use and,
yeah,
like, how the female's always weak and the male always strong, maybe they'll see the big picture of it.
Yeah, interesting. So what kind of alternatives do you think make sense? What other words can we use in those places?
You're asking a non-English speaker.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I should have worked that out myself, shouldn't I?
I don't know, but, like, being gutsy, isn't that a word you can use for...
Yeah, yeah.
And,
that makes sense.
I don't know, just encourage people.
Yeah.
There's a ton of different sayings.
Yeah, and I guess there's there's an argument to say just being a bit more positive about stuff. So rather than either beating yourself or your friends up because they won't write down something, then actually you could probably eradicate the use of that tone completely and just be a bit more encouraging. And
there's
supportive.
A ton of things you can say. Not that I know just like now on top of my head what you could say in English, but there are a ton of things to encourage people with or to express a way that you're feeling or doing when writing that aren't sexist.
Yeah, yeah, true. And do you think that will help make women feel more comfortable within that, the environment, I guess?
I do, in the grand scheme of things. I know there will be people who say, oh, I don't care about that. But in the grand scheme of things, like girls being brought up now and coming into the writing scene that are younger, why should they hear things like that? That makes them think that they aren't as brave or equally capable mm-hmm. as boys.
Yeah.
And it's just like last year I was at a bike race and this big profile rider said, without thinking obviously, that, oh, it's just being a girl, when this commentator asked him why he crashed in his quali run. And, you know, it's like a family outing. There were tons of kids there, and these kids go home and have like this bias without even realizing it. And I think that divides us.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's already a very male-dominated sport, and things do seem to be improving and moving in the right direction. But I guess anything we can do to help make it less male-dominated and make it more inviting and accessible has got to be good, right?
Well, yeah, I think in mountain biking and in the world, like, it's the same.
Yeah, thing. And there's been a lot of change recently. I guess like a lot of it's in the press a lot more.
Yeah.
Feels like there's some big steps being made in some of the gender equality.
Yeah. Agendas, but then again, but like, was it like 2 or 3 weeks ago that, you know, in the UK, the prince is marrying this, Prince Harry's marrying this woman, actress,
mm-hmm.
and she was wearing trousers to an to like a official outing thing. And there was massive headlines like, she wears the trousers in the relationship and, oh, she was wearing trousers at this. And it's like, how is this still an issue?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, women wear trousers.
Yeah, not, it's not newsworthy, is it,
no,
really?
So it's just like, it's a bit everywhere if you look, if you actually look closely.
Yeah, interesting. So I guess we should start being more willing to and more comfortable with picking up our friends on the use of language when we're out riding. Because, it, you know, not everyone thinks about it. It's kind of pretty new to me to think about it, really, from reading your article. And it resonates, it makes sense, but... Mm. Yeah, it's a mindset change for me, and I think it will be interesting, challenging friends on their use of language when we ride. But
and it's not like you have to, like I said, you don't have to point fingers, just like make each other aware. Because now I've said it so many times to people around me, and people go, oh, I can't, sorry, Hannah. Or like, and even if they go, sorry, Hannah, they should say, sorry, world, really.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But they are aware of things that they say in a different way, and eventually maybe that'll lead to them stop saying things.
Yeah.
And I even know, like, my boyfriend said he was out riding with some friends and one of them went, don't be a pussy. And then he turned around to my boyfriend and went, ooh, Hannah wouldn't like that, I'm sorry. And I wasn't even there, but, you know.
That's good, though. It's a sign
react.
That people are getting it and realise why it's not. Yeah. The right thing to be doing.
Yeah. And I like, I have a ton of friends saying all these things, but like slowly it's fading out, which is, it's nice to see.
Yeah. Good. In the same way that the racist terms that we kind of were pretty normal 15 years ago,
20
years ago are basically gone. Not completely, but.
No, they're still around, obviously, but it's kind of a, do you say taboo in English?
Yeah.
It's kind of taboo to say them.
Yeah.
But when it comes to sexism, it's almost a taboo to speak about sexism rather than, you know, trying to fade it out.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, I think people are afraid of, like, when they hear the term feminist.
Oh, my God, yeah. God, just yesterday I was called a feminazi online.
Oh, right, okay.
It was a lovely person calling me that.
Interesting. So you said you had pretty positive response in general to the article, right?
Yeah, there's been a few negative ones, but... Like, I think I've had about 150 responses.
Oh, wow.
Like, on private messages on Facebook and Instagram. And it's been people going, just saying, oh, keep up the good work, or oh, this is so true, I've not been thinking about it, but I'm definitely going to start thinking about it.
And yeah.
We need to do stuff, we need to do something about this. And
cool. Has that come from men and women?
It's
been mixed?
It's been, I was thinking about it yesterday, and I think it's been about 50-50.
Good. Well, as it should be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Makes sense.
So it's, that's been really, like, it's easy to get stuck in the negative comments, but in the grand scheme of things, there's been such a positive reaction after my article that I'm like overwhelmed. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah. Good stuff. So let's move on and talk about a few other kind of areas of women's mountain biking.
Yep.
It's been in the news a little bit recently. Specialized have stopped their women's specific geometry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they do still have a women's edge to the brand, and they have marketing that's aimed towards women, but they've stopped doing their women's specific geometry based on, they say, 40,000 data sets from Retool, where they've been measuring people on bikes, and actually they've seen that there is so much overlap between male and female that it's not, you can't generalize, it's not one or the other, you're not going to fit a men's bike or a women's bike. How do you, you know, what do you think about that move, and how brands are dealing with, you know, the ever increasing amount of women that are coming into the sport?
Well, maybe this is just like a step in that development. I'm no bike engineer, and I don't actually have like a lot of knowledge in that area. I just ride any bike that seems to suit my riding style. But the fact that they've done, you know, they've gone to the women's geometry, and then they've done another research into it and found out like, oh, maybe this isn't worth it, or maybe we're also alike or different. That, you know, it makes sense to just have one range. And it just shows that there is more development going into like female riders and girl riders in general. So if that's what they've like got from the results, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But like, I also think that brands who have like a strong women's, not range then, but like presence, like Santa Cruz has Juliana, and Giant's got Liv, and Specialized has got some, you know, strong women ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that side of things is really important. Like, it just grows a community, like, amongst women.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's role models, there's different kind of role models, there's downhills, cross country, there's adventure, and just shows that there's a big range of what girls can do. Like, it's just, I think, I do think that side's really important.
Yeah, it's definitely growing in a big way.
Yeah.
And the amount of women specific bike related coverage that I see, the amount of events that are going on, all that side of stuff. Yeah, it seems to be moving in the right direction for sure.
Mm.
I guess there's been a couple of different schools of thought from the brand side. There's the sort of shrink it and pink it, as it gets termed, where people are literally just making smaller versions of the men's stuff and you know, making it in pretty colours.
Yeah.
And then there's maybe some brands that are going in a slightly different direction, where they've maybe been more, I don't know, more thoughtful or more tuned in. What do you think is the right approach for a brand trying to grow their women's audience?
It's a
probably not a simple
it's
answer.
It's a very difficult question, but because there's obviously there's so many different kinds of female riders, and we all obviously like different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we don't all like pink and, I don't know, small bikes, but some of us do.
Yeah.
And then some of us don't, and some of us want to have dark clothing and cool graphics, and I don't know, are really into the tech side of things, although maybe it's not as common, but like, it's, I think just keeping a wide range and not targeting women as a singular group.
Yeah.
Like, we're not homogeneous, is that how you say it?
Yeah,
group. Like, there's all these different kind of women, and we all like different things. So, you know, like, keeping options open and seeing where the market goes and seeing what people like. Like, currently I feel like there's a big move away from the whole pink and shrink to like, just there's so many rad girls out riding at the moment, and on Yeah, I don't know. It's just cool to see the movement growing.
Yeah, and it's interesting listening to the specialized approach. I think it was an interview with their product manager.
Mm-hmm.
She was saying that because they've gone away from the women's specific geometry, that the women's specific side had obviously had a budget associated with it that wasn't as big as the men's side.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they've kind of merged and they're just doing geometry for everyone,
that
enables them to have way more models available in the women's kind of colors or the women's side of the brand. So actually the choice for women has increased as a result of the way that they've changed. So they're able to make more product and, like you say, not just make a woman's product, but make a range of women's product,
which is
really cool. And I think you see it more in shops now. I used to go in and the women's section had like one jersey, one pair of shorts and a pair of gloves, and that was about it.
And it's quite funny, really, because I think I read somewhere that there's a bigger range in how women's bodies look than male. So we actually need more models, I guess, by the end of the day to fit different body types and things.
Yeah.
Like clothing-wise and, I don't know, bikes. Yeah. But I guess like men are very different too. So just a wider range of bikes means we've got more choice.
Something for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Cool. So you mentioned, you know, role models within the sport. Who do you think, or what does a good female ambassador look like? What should they be doing? How should they be acting? What's a strong ambassador?
I think a strong ambassador is someone who does exactly what they want to do. It sounds so simple, but having fun, and making silly videos in the forest is your thing, do it. If it's going on a massive adventure in the mountains, do it. Like for me, women that inspire me at least are the ones who kind of just do their thing and don't really care what other people are thinking or saying. And obviously the ones who kind of go against gender norms are always a favorite of mine because I think that's needed. That's really cool because in recent years, there's been a growth in that, I think. Mm-hmm. Especially girls going out and having fun and just doing silly little videos.
Yeah.
And I just love to see them because, like, it's not really been that side of female riding before. And
that's very true. Yeah.
And girls haven't been able to actually almost, I don't know if they live off it, but, you know, they become names because of it.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. And that inspires me to go out and try these silly little stunts or whatever it is. And I think that's really cool. But then again, the girls go out on big mountain adventures. That's inspiring too, because that's stuff I want to do too. Like, you're not just into one kind of riding. So why should there just be one kind of role model?
Yeah.
That's cool. I think that the increase of role models is really important.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot more, like, women's mountain biking seems to be getting a lot more coverage. I think the brands and the websites have woken up and started to realise that more women want to get into it.
Yeah.
There's money in that side of the sport. It's a growth opportunity, which, you know, okay, marketing dollars are going to go after it, but that's cool as well because it brings product and it brings people in. And it's been, you know, it's been good to see things like, well, the Further Girls video that Michaela Gatto did, which was cool, which won the prize at Whistler.
Yeah, it was the Whistler film.
Yeah.
Festival, whatever it's called.
Yeah, which is
Deep Summer, I think.
That's the one. Yeah. That was.
She
really
actually
cool.
She wrapped it for. I heard it a month before.
Okay.
Because she'd written the text and like wrapped it for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, if you pull this off, it will be the best thing ever. And she did, and it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, super cool. Yeah, the amount, like the reaction that had on the internet was pretty insane. I think it's really cool.
I was there in Whistler to see it live as well, and it was a pretty big reaction from the crowd that night as well.
Interesting. From guys and girls alike. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to see how guys respond to that. Because I think for some reason, some guys still seem to feel threatened by that side of things, which I really don't understand. Like, why would you not want more people and more money in the sport that we all love?
Yeah. And it's just like, now that girls start doing their thing more and getting more coverage, it's like everyone enjoys watching someone have fun on a bike, or, I don't know, doing a music video like she did, or it's just more people available to do good content.
Ride
bikes and
it's cool.
But there definitely are, especially men, few women who are scared to let go of the gender stereotypes, and they often get angry when they read stuff like my article and things, and it's sad, but you know, there's always going to be those kind of people too.
Yeah, and the sport's going to keep moving on. It's not going to stop changing of a few people.
I think there's definitely a little mini revolution thing going on, and it's cool. And it could definitely grow, but I also think that we need to start speaking about it more. And like, it's not a dangerous topic. It's just like gender equality. Isn't like that the most natural thing in the world? And I don't know what's so scary about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. So that for those of us that are in the sport and have been for a while, what can we do, or what should we be doing to try and make it a friendlier place, a more welcoming place, you know, maybe not just for women, but for anyone kind of coming into riding?
That's a hard question. Well, first of all, I think it's quite important especially when it comes to like the whole female male thing. Like, there's obviously these girls going off doing their own thing and not caring about that they're seen as less, mm-hmm. whatever it is. And it's awesome. It's just like, do their thing, and that's going to progress the sport in itself.
Yeah.
But then I also think it's important to actually talk about it and to think about it. Like, I don't know, just like actively think about, I don't know, bringing a girl along in, I don't know, like your podcast, or like actively choosing to write an article about a girl. And yeah, it can be seen as unfair to some, but I think it's needed to make a change.
Yeah.
Because it's been so male dominated for so long that like just giving women just more coverage does help.
Yeah,
I think,
that's
in the long run.
And that kind of, I guess it gets called positive discrimination.
Yeah,
is a really interesting and quite a tough topic.
Oh, it's super controversial, and whatever you speak to, someone always has an opinion. But yeah,
yeah. So we've got, I guess, a good example. We've got there's a couple now of women specific enduro races in the UK,
mm-hmm.
And you know, I personally think that's a great idea, and it's really good, and it gives people a safe, if for want of a better word, a way in, a comfortable way into the race scene.
Yeah.
But there are people that will argue, well, there are, if we had a blokes only race, it would be frowned upon. So why is it all right to have a women's only race? What are your thoughts on that? How do you address someone who has that,
well,
that view?
It's kind of the same thing as when people go, oh, I'm not a feminist, but I'm definitely for, you know, gender equality.
Yeah.
Well, it's about bringing women's rights and women's things up to the same level, mm-hmm. as men. So at the end of the day, men have been prominent. They've been more, they've had an easier way of getting into things. And just like giving women a chance to acclimatize and to being brought up to the same level is kind of what's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And if it makes women feel safer, then why not do it? Like, I maybe wouldn't go to an all females race even when I was new to racing, but then again, if it's a safer environment, why not?
Yeah.
But also, you could say that it takes away, it's like a plaster, like a, it's a quick fix.
Yeah.
Because, well, a lot of people think that it's scary to come to a race, and you know, accidentally holding up someone behind you, or you know, making a fool out of themselves, so it's going to be too hard. But why not try and fix that problem within racing? Because I don't know, make a race series that's more welcoming.
Like, yeah,
you wouldn't start off with your first race going to a BDS.
No,
for downhill, maybe you choose one of the slightly less serious.
Yeah, something
race
a bit
series.
More welcoming and
yeah,
friendly. And,
exactly.
Well, not that BDS isn't welcoming, but it's very competitive.
Well,
right?
It is.
The top end
of
the sport.
And if you go there, you want to produce a result, and then maybe, yeah, you'd get angry if someone held you up in a race run.
Yeah.
So don't choose that to be your first race. So it's also like, I don't know, it's a hard one. But by the end of the day, I think women's only races are a good thing, and male only races would be a very weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ultimate problem that's trying to be solved with it is that as a beginner coming into racing, it can be very intimidating. And I think that's the same for men and women.
Yeah.
You know, I know I feel like that when I go to a race. I don't want to hold anyone up.
Yeah.
And if I see someone behind me in the queue that I know is fast or looks fast,
yeah,
I'm nervous, right? Yeah. Because I don't want to get in their way.
Mm.
And so the problem that is being fixed there,
yeah,
is it's creating a safe environment,
yeah,
for beginners. And exactly. At the minute, it's women's only. But actually, maybe the women's side of the sport deserves that to help accelerate it up to the point that the male end of the sport's already at.
Yeah, exactly.
But like you say, addressing racing in general and finding a way to make racing a less scary place for beginners, yeah, maybe.
Maybe just more information about the races.
Yeah.
So you know what you're going to enter, how hard it's going to be. There's a ton of different ways, I think, to address it as well. But like then again, you'd go... Well, you know, all these male beginners, they go just throw themselves in the deep end and go to these races. But then again, I think we've been raised the way so that, you know, if you're a little boy, you're told to go do things, to get out of your comfort zone, to try new things. Whereas if you're a girl, you're often told to be careful, to not do scary things, mm-hmm, to not, I don't know, just go off and do your own thing. And I think that, at the end of the day, that like defines who we grow up to be. And then women are more scared to get in the way, to speak up loud, to take place or space,
yeah,
I guess you say.
Yeah.
And I think that's why maybe more male beginners, you know, throw themselves in the deep end and more females don't.
It's interesting. So maybe there's almost a programming thing, yeah, in that women have been brought up differently to some, yeah, extent. I'm sure not in every example, but
no.
As a generalization, then, yeah, I'm sure that's fair, which means that they're, yeah, less likely to take that leap and,
yeah,
and throw themselves in, hence the need for women specific beginner events to,
yeah,
to ease people in and, yeah, to give them a comfort zone
until we're at like a more equal level, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Mm. So let's talk a bit more about women's racing then. So certainly on the downhill side of things, there's been, mm-hmm, a couple of changes over recent years. So one is that they've added a junior women's field, which, yep, I think is a good thing, but it's not a very busy category. There aren't many women turning up, which probably shows a fundamental lack of women getting into that side of things. They've also, on the flip side, I guess, they've started to reduce the numbers of women that can qualify for a World Cup.
Yeah.
And they have, their view on that is that, well, actually, you know, as a percentage,
mm,
of the total field, women are still more likely to qualify than guys, right? Yeah. There's a higher amount of spots available,
yeah,
as a percentage, and therefore it's fair.
Mm.
How do you feel about that? What are your thoughts?
My first reaction was like, oh no, what have they done? But then I've kind of changed my mind a little bit because I did an interview with Miranda Miller,
uh-huh,
and she was like, well, it's actually quite a good thing because we really have to try to qualify now. Like, you can't have just a steady run,
yeah,
to qualify. You've got to push, and that's good for the sport too. Like, you've got to go faster. You've got to be at your best all the time to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And in the long run, that could be a good change. And when there will be more women, hopefully,
yeah,
entering the downhill races, then you increase the number. But I actually think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
To make it slightly harder means that the riders have to get better.
Yeah, it pushes the sport on.
Yeah.
And I think, well, certainly seeing that, I remember riding, this is a long time ago, probably 15 years ago, with someone who was sort of top five World Cup capable,
mm-hmm,
woman at the time. And I could just about keep up on a track that I knew very well and she didn't.
Yeah.
But now, if I went riding with anyone from the World Cup circuit, yeah, I guarantee like one turn and they'd be gone.
Yeah.
It's been really cool to see that side of the sport progress. Mm. So it feels like it's in a good place, right?
Yeah. And I know there's not that many, say, women on the World Cup downhill circuit. But the ones who are there are like really good. And it's a shame that they sometimes their riding comes across looking a lot slower when the males come down straight afterwards. But if you go and look at them riding, like in real life, it's so impressive.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's insane. It's like, yeah, it just makes me, it's just so cool to see. It makes me want to go faster when you look at them. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think we could do to, you know, to fill up the women's ranks, to get more juniors coming through? What, any thoughts on what needs to happen for that to improve?
Well, maybe more media coverage.
Okay.
Because, like, there are a lot of, like, fast girls who are, you know, putting them out, like, putting lots of social media things up and showing how fast and how good they are and how much they love bikes, and that's all good. But to the general masses, you've got to have more media coverage on the girls.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that. It's also up to us girls to push for it. Like, we can't just sit there and hope to get served all this media coverage when we are outnumbered by so many guys. But, like, just, I think, just trying and asking for more and just speaking up and, you know, offering to help or whatever there is we can do.
Yeah.
I believe that getting more media coverage out there will be bringing more girls into the sport, because then they'll see it and be like, wow, that's cool, I want to do that too.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to be exposed to it and see that it is something that men and women can do.
Yeah.
And they can do it at a very high level.
And I'm not an expert in the snow sport industry, but I think there's been a massive increase of women doing like slope style events and downhill skiing, and it's always been huge. So there's definitely, it's not that we don't want to put ourselves out there and that we're not brave and that we're not fearless. Like, I just think we need to get the sport out there to more people and make it more normal for women to ride bikes.
So for the women that are out there riding, then maybe like trying to create good content and working hard to get that content out and on the websites and in front of people would help.
I think so.
From a role model perspective, I guess, isn't it? It's that same argument, like just showing what can be done. And
even from, like, you know, the racing, like role models and racing scene, like getting... Yeah, just getting content out there, I think, is a... But that's just my opinion, but I do think it'd make a big difference.
Yeah.
And not, you know... I wish it'd be less of a deal to be a girl on a downhill team. You know, like...
Yeah, token girl.
Yeah.
Seems, like, it still whole, feels that way in
like,
a way.
Oh, yeah, we put a girl on the team this year. It's like...
Yeah, well done.
Yeah. But then again, like, yeah, it's great that you did choose to put a girl on the team.
Yeah.
But... I can't wait for the day where it's not the token girl.
Yeah, are there any teams with more than one woman on? I was just trying to...
No, I don't think so.
Think that through.
I've been thinking about this too, and I don't actually think... I might be wrong. I've not been in the scene for that long, but...
We saw our first women's segment in a movie, I think, with Bigger Slice of British Pie last year, so that was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And there was one with... wasn't there one with... Casey and Rachel as well.
Oh, I'm not sure I've seen that.
I think in the Trek movie.
Yeah.
Which was also cool.
Yeah, Casey and Rachel are both awesome to watch.
Oh my God, yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, interesting.
So, and just seeing, like, for example, Casey's freeride videos where she's shredding on snow or just doing massive jumps, and like, that's so cool to see.
Yeah.
And Veronique Sandler doing her little stunts and tricks.
That
just makes me want to go out and ride my bike.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, and Go On Girls as well with Martha and Bex doing similar things, like little
They're
jibs.
Hilarious.
And, but it's kind of like, it's a little bit like a 50-to-1 style, like quite raw jibbing and kind of being a bit more creative in the use of the landscape and the bikes and stuff. But it's really cool to see. I think it's inspired quite a lot of people.
I think so too. And I think those kinds of, that kind of content is just, it's just really important. And I just want them to keep doing what they're doing and hope sponsors will help them keep doing what they're doing, because that'll definitely grow the women's segment, I think.
It feels like it's, like I say, it feels like it's changing, definitely. It's still got a long way to go, but there is, seems to be more willingness to, for brands to spend money on the women's side of things, which is cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about prize money then. So I'm not totally sure. I don't know what's happening, but I think it's still that the men are getting paid. Certainly in downhill anyway, the men are getting a bigger win.
Paycheck.
What do you think it should be equal?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And I fully understand the argument that there are more men, so it's harder to win.
Uh-huh.
But then again, is it harder to win? Because by the end of the day, the top five women and top five men are all so fast. And they put in so many hours of training. And I mean, being a bike racer and an athlete is more than a full-time job.
Yeah.
And they're putting their heart and soul into it. And so why shouldn't they get paid the same amount? Like, yes, there are fewer women. There are a lot more men, but their work isn't worth less money, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, women's mountain biking is not in the state where you could just buy a bike, turn up at a World Cup and get a good result.
No.
Like, there's years and years of sweat, tears, hard graft that go into being able to compete at that level.
Yeah. And they give up a lot of things, just like the men give up a lot of things to be at that level. And just taking money away from them is just a symbol of the fact that we mean less.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that prize money would be why women would get into downhill racing, but it definitely doesn't come across as equal if you don't have equal prize money.
Yeah, no, totally fair. So let's sort of wrap it up a little bit. What do you think is the future for women's mountain biking? Kind of where do you see it heading?
I see it growing massively. And especially, I can't wait for the next generation to grow up, because I hope that it will be these fearless, awesome women that will come through who will just enjoy riding bikes the same way as kind of we all do. And a lot of girls might have come into biking at a later stage. So if we get in early as well, I think you'll see a huge progression of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I also think there'll be a bigger division. There'll be the race side of things.
Yeah.
With like really fast girl races, but there'll also be the free ride and the like content adventure style that's existed on the male side for quite a long time. But I think it's definitely coming on the girl side.
So it's a good time to be a woman and involved in
mountain
biking.
I think so, but we need to speak up and just show that we're here and make sure that we lay a good path for the generation to come.
Yeah. So if any parents of young girls are watching this, like any thoughts
or boys.
On? Well, yeah, true.
Like,
but any thoughts on what parents can do to encourage their children into the sport and to help them, you know, on a good journey?
Just like treat boys and girls the same way. Like, they are very similar at a young age, and it's just in their teens that they start going different. But I think just laying a good ground of being fearless and learning to, I don't know, handle fear and excitement and adrenaline and just letting them be themselves and don't like tell them it's scary. Like, let them decide for themselves.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah.
But I'm not a parent, but that's how I'd want my kids to grow up.
That's good advice. And yeah, falling off hurts just as much whether you're male or female, right?
Well, exactly.
Doesn't make any difference.
No, and it's equally as scary. It's just like, I think girls are being told that like it's okay to be scared, whereas boys is just like, oh, just brush it off and get up.
Yeah, maybe there's a happy middle ground somewhere.
Yeah, well, I think there is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just keep riding bikes and doing what you love. Whether it's XC, downhill, enduro, adventuring, I don't know. Just do what you want to do and whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, get out there.
Yeah.
And share it
as well. And share it,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Cool, good stuff. Thanks for your time. It's been super interesting chatting. If people want to find out a bit more and follow your adventures, where can they find you on the internet?
On the internet, I'm called Swede Hannah on Instagram.
Okay.
So that's where you'll find me.
Awesome, good stuff. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that's it for our Women's Mountain Biking special. I hope you enjoyed listening. We've got plenty more great episodes coming up, so make sure you head over to our website and subscribe to the podcast, get yourself on the newsletter, and like I said, if you've got time, an iTunes review goes a long way. Okay, until next time, get out and ride.